listening to the CCA Podcast. Good morning. I'm not going to lie, I was very disappointed with the storm. You know, they're talking about like hurricane force winds and everybody's going to lose power for like a week. And my daughter was super excited. Yes, we won't have to go to school. And my son was like, I want my screen time. So, you know, it's in our house, it was a little divided. I was disappointed. I was disappointed because when it gets windy, it gives me an opportunity to surf without having to drive 2.5 hours to get there. So when it's really windy, the wind creates waves, and Isaac and I go down to Edmonds, and we surf and boogie board on little tiny wind waves. And we got to do that a little bit yesterday, and it was pretty fun. But man, sometimes the hype doesn't live up to itself, does it? You want to know what does live up to itself? Jesus. Jesus does. Because no matter what's going on, no matter what storm you're going through in life, Jesus wants to walk with you through the storm. He doesn't always take us out of the storm, but he promised that he would walk with us through the storm. He promised that by his Spirit he would lead us and guide us, that he would speak to us if we'll listen. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're in a series. You'll find it on the front of your program, your bulletin here. Refresh, renew, start fresh. And we've been talking about this theme of times of refreshing that'll come from the Lord. And Pastor Steve has talked about a couple different things. He's talked about the Holy Spirit and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We've talked about healing and praying for healing. And the last couple weeks have been special, haven't they? They've been really powerful. And I think that God is doing something new and something fresh. And that comes as we seek his face together. It comes as we listen to him and are led by his Spirit. So today we're going to talk about how to be led by the Spirit of God. And we're going to talk about three stories. Pastor Steve alluded to one of them. He told a little bit of it today when he was talking with the kids, one about Moses and one about Elijah and one about Jesus. My kids have been asking me recently this very question. How do you know what God's voice sounds like? How do you know what God's voice sounds like? And that's a tricky thing, isn't it? It's a tricky thing to follow Jesus, to be led by his Spirit, because I think sometimes we hear all of these miraculous stories from the Bible or from missionaries or people that seem to be in a more spiritual place than we are. And we go, well, why doesn't God talk to me like that? How come he doesn't lead me like that? And so listening to God's Spirit can be tricky, and being led by his Spirit is sometimes difficult, but I hope to give you a little bit, some tools this morning that may help us in what that looks like. In order to be led by the Spirit of God, we have to be familiar with what God's voice sounds like and what his leading looks like. And first and foremost, we learn what God's voice sounds like by reading his letters to us from the Bible. That's where it all starts. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. If we're going to be led by the Spirit down this road of life, his word is what helps us and what guides us. The writer of Hebrews said, for the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. When learning to be led by the Spirit of God, there's no substitute for saturating ourselves in God's Word. We find out what His voice sounds like and how His Spirit has led His people in the past. Now, are there other ways to hear God's voice? Are there other ways to be led by His Spirit? Sure. He does. But those leadings and those other ways of His speaking to us will always be consistent with His words spoken to us in the Bible. Every single time. How else does God's Spirit speak to us? How else can we be led by the Spirit? Well, God can also speak through people around us. Sometimes God will give something to somebody to say to us, to encourage us, to challenge us. Sometimes to reprimand us. God can also speak through His creation. We look around and we see the glory and majesty of what He's created. And we see glimpses of who He is and how He works. In fact, in Proverbs, Solomon says, hey, take note of the ant. You should be like an ant, because they work all summer long preparing for winter. We see how God leads through His creation. God can also speak through music. Sometimes He speaks to us in the midst of worship as we're singing and playing music together and in His presence. Sometimes it can be through poetry. My wife finds that God speaks to her as she journals. As she's reading through God's Word and as she's writing things down, she'll go back and look and see, wow, God was really leading me in this time. And I can go back and look and see how He led me. God can also speak through our thoughts and our ideas. You see, our intuition and our conscience play a big part in how God speaks to us. He can speak to us through our knowledge and wisdom. Did you know that in Proverbs, that the writer of Proverbs credits all wisdom as coming from God? So He can also lead us through our intellect and our reason. He gave us a brain that works well. And then there's what I like to call the et cetera. Sometimes God will speak through unlikely ways. And maybe you're like me, where you've been watching a movie and it's almost like the Holy Spirit is saying, psst, hey, pay attention to this. This is just like what I'm trying to do in your life. And who would have thought? God sometimes speaks in the unlikely ways. In fact, there's a story in the Bible about a guy named Balaam. And God had directed Balaam to go and do something. And Balaam said, nope, I'm going to do my own deal. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to go my own way. And so he gets on his donkey and he heads the opposite way of where God said he was supposed to go. And they come to this narrow place in the road that's just tight to get through. And the donkey starts pushing against the wall and pushing against the place where they couldn't get through. And Balaam starts getting mad at his donkey because he's trying to get him to go forward and the donkey is not going forward. And he's squishing him up against the side here. And so he starts beating his donkey. And finally, God allows the donkey to speak. What? And the donkey starts speaking to Balaam. Because the donkey, he said, why are you beating me? Why are you beating me? And God had opened the mouth of the donkey to explain to Balaam that something that Balaam could not see with his natural eyes. Because up ahead in this narrow part of the path was an angel of the Lord. And if Balaam had continued to go this way, he would have died. And so God speaks in an unlikely way to save Balaam. God speaks sometimes through the et cetera. And so there's multiple illustrations in the Bible about how God spoke to people and how he led people. And I've picked three key ones that I want to share with you today. And they start with the guy named Moses. Moses and the Israelites. Moses was an Israelite child who had been born in Egypt when Israel was in slavery there. And through some miraculous circumstances, he'd been adopted into the Pharaoh's house and grew up in the Pharaoh's family. However, as he got older, he began to notice that his people were severely mistreated. He ends up killing another Egyptian and having to flee from Egypt. And he goes into the wilderness and he wanders around there and ends up getting married and ends up becoming a shepherd for his father-in-law's flocks. And we pick up there in Exodus chapter 3. And if you've got a Bible, you want to turn there, Exodus chapter 3. If you've got your Bible on your app, you can do it there. We'll have it on the screens as well. Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. And God begins to speak to Moses and directs him to go back to Egypt and to set his people free. And they kind of go back and forth. And Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. God is speaking to Moses, and God's Spirit speaks to us often when we are alone. God's Spirit speaks to us when we are alone. And I love what God does here when he's talking to Moses. I love that he says, I am. Always present. Not stuck in the past. Not only available in the future. But God is always right now. Moses is out in the middle of nowhere. His life in Egypt is behind him. And it's in the solitude that God chooses to speak to Moses. It's in the aloneness that God's Spirit begins to lead him. The next story is about a prophet named Elijah. In this story, we also find Elijah out in the wilderness. And God has just used him to defeat the enemies of Israel with a fantastic display of wonder and majesty on a mountaintop to see whose God was real. Baal or the God of Israel. And the prophets of Baal had called out to their God to consume their offerings and nothing had happened. But when Elijah called on the Lord to act, fire came down from heaven and consumed everything on Elijah's altar. The offering, the wood, the stones, and even the water it had all been soaked in. Then Israel defeated their enemies. But when Queen Jezebel heard about it, she vowed to destroy Elijah. So he runs off into the wilderness. And he ends up on a mountaintop in a cave, all alone. And we pick up in 1 Kings 19, the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've torn down your altars and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave, for God was going to speak to him. God speaks to us when we're alone. And God's Spirit also speaks to us in the quietness. When your struggles want to consume you, when your problems seem like a mountain that's too tall to climb, when all around you seems to falter and the noise is so loud that you don't think that you can go on, God's Spirit still wants to lead you. But he doesn't want to compete with the noise of life. The Bible says he's a jealous God. You know what that means? It means he doesn't want to share with the noise. He doesn't want to have to compete with everything else that's going on around us. And that's actually not too hard to comprehend. My family, they get frustrated when they're trying to talk to me and I'm distracted by something else. Have you experienced that? Livy hates it when she's trying to talk with me. Well, here's the best example. If we go to a restaurant, we're to the point now where I have to find a place to sit that doesn't face a television. It's horrible because I will watch that thing and she'll try and talk to me and I'll just zone out. I'll be like, what? She gets so mad because I'm not listening to her. The same is true with God. God will speak to us in the quiet because in that moment, he's not having to share our focus with something else. God waits patiently for us. His Spirit gently calls us back to his, ready for us to turn to him. And our refreshing comes when we wait upon him, when we put our full hope in him, when we entwine ourselves with the Holy Spirit. And it's in the solitude and it's in the quiet where God can speak to us and where his Spirit can lead us. God speaks to us when we're alone, and God speaks to us in the quietness. And finally, I want to look at the life of Jesus. And Jesus was constantly getting away to be alone with God the Father and to be refreshed and led by God's Holy Spirit. He gets away into a boat and he goes out into the lake. He goes to a mountainside by himself. He goes to a solitary place. He goes to a garden. From the very beginning of his ministry, we see that he gets away and he gets alone. And in Matthew chapter 4, we find that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" We see that going away and getting alone on relying on God's word was a key part of how Jesus operates, because the Holy Spirit speaks through his word. I talked about it at the beginning, and I'm going to talk about it again, because it's so important that God speaks to us through his word. Jesus did the same thing in the Garden of Gethsemane just before his arrest and his trial and his execution. He got away and he got alone to be with God. It was how he was refreshed and strengthened. And it was how he was led by the Spirit of God for what was next. How does God speak to me? I wanted to share that a little bit with you because sometimes you can look at the Bible and it's hard to know how that looks in regular life. There have only been a few times where I felt like God's Spirit led me through what I would describe as almost an audible voice. Two times were when I was a kid and I sensed him telling me to go to a place in Israel and to go to a place in Spain and preach about him. Cool thing is I got to go to Spain and preach about him. Still waiting on the Israel part. Another time was when I sensed he was telling me to leave Faith Assembly of Lacey. The only other time was when I felt like God's Spirit was telling me to give a message in tongues. It was probably 15 or 20 years ago, and I was actually sitting right back probably where Pat is sitting. There's Pat, she's waving. It was right back in this area. It was on a Sunday night, and we were in a time of worship and prayer and waiting in God's presence. And there came a moment when it was just kind of quiet. And I felt like I sensed God telling me kind of in my insides, I want you to give a message in tongues. And I was like, whoa, hold on a second. God, I don't know if this is really you. But that sense just kept pushing and persisting. Like God's Spirit was saying, I want you to do this. I want you to do this. And I'm like, God, I don't know. What if it's not you? What if it's not you that's speaking to me right now? What if I'm just making this up? I want you to do this. I want you to do this. Oh. And I sat there and I sat there and I just wrestled. And finally I said, you want to know what, God? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And no sooner did I say that than two rows forward and a little further this way, someone gave a message in tongues. And then someone right over here interpreted it. And I was like crushed inside. Oh, man. Because I felt so disobedient. Here was an opportunity for that God was actually speaking to me. And I didn't do what he said. But those were never, they were never an audible voice. They were never heard by the people around me. They were more like a voice that like resonated deep in my core. And they sounded a lot like my voice, but not quite my voice. Because I know what my voice sounds like when I'm having a conversation with myself, right? It's a good sound. I like to talk with a great class of people when I'm talking with myself. It wasn't that voice. But other than that, I'm usually led by God's Spirit in one of three ways, and none of them are miraculous. For me, it all starts and ends with his word, with the Bible. I can't count how many times I've found solace, I've found peace, I've found strength, I've found rest and direction for who I'm supposed to be as I follow him. Not necessarily what I'm supposed to do or where I'm supposed to do, but who I'm supposed to be. Because the who I'm supposed to be always goes before the what I'm supposed to do. The what I'm supposed to do or the where I'm supposed to go have always come as I take steps forward in faith. I've heard that Pastor Warren Bullock used to say, if you're looking for God's will, he will never let you miss it. Which is congruent with what we talked about a couple months ago in the book of James. Remember that? If you lack wisdom, you should ask God, and he gives generously without finding fault. But when you ask, you have to believe and not doubt. Remember that? So in our lives, Olivia and mine, as we've followed the leading of the Holy Spirit by saying, God, based on what we think you might be doing, we're going to take steps in that direction. We want to follow your will, so that if this isn't the right way, then close the doors. And if it is the right way, then open them wide, and we will follow you through that. That's honestly how God's Spirit has led us most of the time. Now, working a little backward from that, the steps forward in faith always come on the heels of what Pastor Matt has called the nudge. the nudge. I like that because it's as if God's Spirit is leading me by nudging me along, kind of going, psst, over here, this way. Psst, hey, what about this? And that nudge of God's Spirit leads us to take those steps forward in faith. How are we led by God's Spirit? Man, it starts with His Word. God's Spirit speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us in the quiet, and He speaks to us in the alone. He guides us as with a nudge and pushes us to take steps forward in faith. I'm going to have the band go ahead and come up, and we're going to move into a time of just waiting. And before we do that, I want to give you some action steps. And you can write these on your notes if you want to. They might already be on there. It'd be great if you wrote them on your connection card and your notes. Then you can leave one on your chair and we can pray for you. And you can take one home with you and put it on the fridge. And here are your takeaways. I will spend time listening to God this week by reading the Bible. It starts there. It starts right there. Number two, I will spend 5 minutes a day this week being silent in God's presence. Now, I'm just going to warn you, when you first start being quiet in God's presence, it's super awkward. Because you're trying to figure out, what is that, my voice or is God's voice? And it takes time and it takes practice, and that's okay. So takeaway number two, I will spend 5 minutes a day this week being silent in God's presence. And number three, I will take a step of faith to see where God's Spirit is leading.